Good evening, and a warm word of welcome once again to 6 Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church and to our weekly Bible study. As always, it's a joy you're joining with us, and it is our constant prayer that the Lord will richly bless you wherever you are this evening as you tune in. Now, we are back in our church as normal, but tonight we are publishing our accounts for 2019, and so I thought it'd be more beneficial for those that are tuning in just for the gospel and just for the word of God to have this broadcast. But can I say to our people that are shielding at this time and unable to join with us, if you would like a copy of the accounts for 2019, then do get in touch with either the treasurer or myself, and we'll be happy to furnish you with a copy of those accounts. I want to read some verses tonight with you from Jeremiah and the chapter 29, the book of Jeremiah and the chapter 29. Just want to read 5 verses with you. And they're wonderful verses, beginning at the verse and number 10. So Jeremiah chapter 29 and the verse and number 10. It says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an unexpected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." Amen. And God will write his own blessing upon the reading of his precious and his infallible word. I want to direct your attention just to these verses. And it's going to be both tonight and indeed next Wednesday evening as well. We're going to be looking at these verses under the heading, Encouragement for the Downhearted. Encouragement for the Downhearted. Let's have a moment's prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee, thankful once again for the opportunity to open up thy word and to study it together, to even glean from the pages of Scripture. We do rejoice that it's not just the words of man that we are reading, but rather it is the message from Almighty God himself. We do rejoice that this book is the inscribed and the infallible word of God. We do rejoice that thy word is there for our instruction. It's there for our reproof. It's there, O God, even for our encouragement. Bless us even now as we consider thy word together. Bless each one who is listening in. We pray for them. We pray for the individual needs at this time, that thou wilt draw near. Thou wilt bless each and every one. And O God, that thou wilt speak to every heart this night. Glorify thy Son in everything that is done and said. In Jesus' name. Amen. One commentator writing on this passage, he said, "If you wish to be disappointed, then look at others. If you wish to be disheartened, then look at yourself. But if you wish to be encouraged, then look to Jesus." You know, the captivity of the Israelites was no doubt one of the hardest and one of the saddest periods in a nation's history. A people who had been promised and given so much. Whenever they entered into the land of Canaan, whenever all of their enemies were defeated before them and they were able to set up their homes, and that promised land flowing with milk and honey, all of the blessings, all of the privileges that were there. And yet over time, as they turned away from their covenantal promises, as they turned away from following after the Lord, from obeying his word, the Lord had to chasten them. He had to punish them for their sin. And we've seen it in the book of Judges, but yet even after that, when the kings were raised up, that time after time, the Israelite kings, it would cause the people to sin and to turn away from the Lord. And so the Lord allowed the Babylonians and under Nebuchadnezzar to bind them and to carry them away captive. Many of the Israelite people were bound, their greatest ones, their intellectual, their youth, were bound and removed from that land of Israel for a period of 70 years. And you know the captivity that it speaks about here, even in the land of Babylon in relation to the Israelites. You can parallel it even with the Christian who is suffering under great affliction. You know, we may describe real affliction as captivity. for trials can hold our minds captive, unable to shake off the worries, unable to shake off the concerns that come, whether it be bodily illness, whether it be problems with your career, problems with your job, or problems even with a business, whether it be family issues, all of those different trials, all of those different hardships, those afflictions which come upon us can bind us. They can bind our minds. We can be waking up in the morning and thinking about those issues constantly. Issues that we simply just cannot get away from. Doesn't matter where we go, it doesn't matter what else we try and do. Our minds constantly keep coming back to those trials and those hardships in our lives. They can even bind us in terms of our bodies. They can strike such fear in us that we are unable, that our health is affected, that we're unable even to go about our normal business in our normal way. You know, we're all, that ever is on our minds is that hardship. That morning, that noon, that night, no matter where we go, it's always there before us. I believe that the captivity, even an affliction, is very real. It's very serious for many. And I believe that as we read these verses and as we consider these verses here in Jeremiah 29, that they are a wonderful encouragement. A wonderful encouragement to each and to every one as we consider going through our journeys in life. You know, Robert Hawker, writing in the Poor Man's Commentary, he simply said of these verses from chapter 10 to 14, he just said, I pray the reader to pause over these gracious expressions of the Lord. They are suited to the Lord's exercised family in all ages, at all times, and under all the sorrows of their estate. Mark how many the promises are, and let them be to you for a token of God's faithfulness. And oh, what an exhortation is even given there to just pause and to spend time going over these verses. We're only going to look tonight at verse number 10. And then next week we'll come back to look at the verses 11 to 14. But I trust that even as we read them, and I encourage you even to go over them in your own time as well, and to go over them prayerfully, to go over them slowly, to go over them meditating upon each word that the Lord has for us, that they will be that gracious promise, that gracious encouragement even to our own souls. One thing I want to highlight with you this evening, in verse number 10, it is the pronouncement that the Lord gives, the pronouncement. You know, in the verse 10 it says, thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Oh, what promises are found even in this one verse. He promises, firstly, that there will be an end to the sufferings and an end to the captivity. You know, there's promise there that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and return you to this place. There's a promise to an end of the suffering. Every captivity which the Christian is a victim of has an end. And the Lord sees, and the Lord knows when that end will be. You see, our God is above all of the storms of life. Our God sees the end of the storms. He sees the beginning of the clear skies. He knows when those storms, those dark clouds will roll away. And the sunshine, as it were, will break through. And the Lord promises an end to suffering in His time and in His way. You know, there were those in Israel and Babylon, I've no doubt, that were yearning for the ending of this captivity. Those 70 years were very hard upon the Israelite people. And we can see it even Psalm 136, the weeping, the tears of the people of Israel in the land of Babylon, at the river of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. It was a hard time, it was a very difficult time, a very challenging time upon the people. And there were those that were coming to the Israelites, even from within their own ranks, and telling them, oh, it's going to end very soon. All you have to do is A, B, and C, and you'll get out of this situation, you'll get out of this captivity. And everything will be back to normal very, very soon. They were false prophets. They were liars. because the Lord had a set time. The Lord had a set way in which the Israelites would be released from their captivity. And that captivity would only end in the Lord's time. But it would end. You see, God's time is the best time. It is the time which best benefits the Lord's people. We want all of our problems dealt with and we want them removed yesterday. We don't want to be constantly facing the issues of life. We don't want to constantly be facing the hardships, the trials, the burdens, the stresses. And yet we constantly say, oh, I just wish this was dealt with and that was dealt with. And these things were out of my mind and out of my hair, as it were, so that I am clear, so that I am free from it. But if yesterday is not in God's will, then it's the wrong time. And if yesterday is not God's way, then it's the wrong way. You know, Romans 8:28 is a verse which at times can be overused. That all things work together for good, and we can just roll it off the tongue so easily, so quickly, without just pausing to think about the words. All things work together for good. To them that love the Lord. To them who are called according to his purpose. All things. That's all of the trials. That's all of the hardships. That's all of the stresses. All of those things will work together for good. Not for bad, for good. To them that love the Lord. You know, we want our problems dealt with. And I can speak from experience the words of Psalm 46 and 10. They're very hard to implement at times in our own lives. We can encourage others, oh, be still and know that I am God. It's easier to say it to others, isn't it? It's harder to live it in our own lives, in our own circumstances. But the Lord promises an end to the captivity. And child of God, whatever your current circumstance is, whatever the burden be upon your mind or upon your heart, the Lord is in control of it all. And the Lord does promise an end. In his time, in his way. Not only does he promise an end, but he also promises a visitation to his people. Because in the verse number 10, he says, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. You know, quite often there are times of trial and hardship. Times of that captivity, we feel very lonely. As if no one understands. As if no one cares. As if no one can help. We go through with the burdens coming down upon us and we think to ourselves, no one else has ever walked in my shoes. No one else understands the great struggles. I am completely alone. Even my husband, my wife, whatever the case may be, my children, my parents, they don't get it. Only I know what I'm going through. Isolation is very real. And I'm sure there were many times for the Israelites that they felt isolated. They felt weak. They felt helpless in Babylon. Evidence is found of it in Psalm 102. It's a psalm that we studied in the past, even in our prayer meeting. The prayer of the afflicted as they were in Babylon. The verse 4, the psalmist at that time, he says, my heart is smitten. The verse 7, he speaks about being alone upon the housetop. Verse 11, he says, my days are like a shadow that declineth. He just feels completely at a loss. Completely alone, completely isolated from everything, from every help, from every encouragement. And yet it's into the midst of that setting there in Babylon that the Lord has promised to visit. He doesn't say, oh, you'll have to come out of Babylon before I come to you. No, the Lord says, into Babylon, at Babylon, I will visit you. You know, I think of the joy that is found even in the visitation of the Lord. you can trace it even in the New Testament. I think of the widow of Nain. She was going out to bury her son. Yes, there was a great gathering at that funeral. There were friends, neighbors, people in the town, and they all came with that desire to commiserate with her, to comfort her, to sympathize with her. But yet as she was walking out of that city of Nain, heading for the cemetery, no one was walking in her shoes. The stresses of losing a husband and now a son were weighing down only upon her shoulders. And yet the Lord entered into that situation. And the Lord came, he touched the bier, he raised her son back to life. And it tells us, Luke 7:16, that the people glorified God and said that God hath visited his people. Child of God, no one has ever felt more lonely or more burdened with stress than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when the Lord promises himself to come and to visit you, you're getting the best visitor that there ever could be. I say that there's no one has felt more lonely or burdened with stress than the Lord Jesus, as I can give wonderful evidence to that fact. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26:37, it tells us he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. He would testify himself in the verse 38, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death." In Luke 22:44, because of the stresses that he was under, it informs us there that Christ being in agony, his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Such was that pressure. Such was the agony. Such was the burden that was upon him. And surely we can see that loneliness even in his life at that time. In Isaiah 53:3, it says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." And then his loneliness really hit the pinnacle upon the cross. 3 hours of darkness enveloped the land and came around the Saviour upon the cross. His Father in heaven turned away from him. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" No one has ever suffered loneliness like the Lord Jesus suffered. No one has ever suffered the trials, the burdens, the stresses, the hardships of life more than the Lord Jesus Christ has suffered. Oh yes, loneliness is real. The feelings of separation and isolation are real. But yet the Lord, the one who knows all about it, the one who is our high priest, the one who has been touched with the feeling of our infirmities, he is the one who promises to come. He is the one who promises to come to you and to visit you in your time of need. Oh, what a blessing that is. What a pronouncement that the Lord is going to come and visit his people. He's going to come and visit you. He loves you. He cares for you. He understands our burdens and our stresses. I think of the hymn, "There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus." Jesus knows all about our struggles. Oh, what a blessing to know that he knows. And that he's our friend. That he will come to us. He promises one other thing I want to highlight to you. He promises the accomplishment of his word in this verse number 10. He goes on to say, "After I will visit you," he says, "perform my good word toward you." You know, every word from the Lord is a good word. Every word that is contained in the scriptures is good. The scriptures are full of good promises. full of good advice, and of course, the good news. All scriptures are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us, and all of it is good. And the Israelites here in their captivity had received a good word from the Lord. It was a word of hope. It was a word of safety. It was a word of encouragement, a word of comfort. Even though they deserved to be in Babylon, even though their sins had been great before the Lord, and it was righteous, it was just that they were carried off into Babylon captive. They had abandoned their covenantal promises. And yet the Lord in his mercy, he had given to them a good word, a promise for the future. You know, as you go through scripture, there are wonderful examples of those who were given good words time and time again. I think of Elijah in 1 Kings 19. The great day on the Mount Carmel is recorded for us. The rain has returned to the land. The people have turned to the Lord. In 1 Kings 19, it tells us that he received a letter from Jezebel. He ran in fear from her. He ran from the battle. He ran from his commission. He ran from his God. And such was his fear and anxiety at his own situation. He longed for death. He wanted his life to be taken from him. And yet 1 Kings 19 and verse 12 and following, the Lord came and spoke to him in a still small voice. And Elijah, he thought he was all alone. And even though he ran, even though he jumped to false conclusions in relation to the reality of a situation, yet God spoke a good word to Elijah. A word which rebuked him, yes. A word which drew him back, yes, but it was a good word because it was a word of comfort. It was a word of encouragement. Verse 18 in 1 Kings 19, it says, the Lord shows to him, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Elijah thought, oh, I'm the only one standing for the Lord. I'm the only one serving the Lord. And the Lord came to encourage him and said, no, Elijah, you're not. There's 7,000 others. And in the good word of the Lord, it went further for Elijah. Because of verse 16, he says, Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. You see, it showed Elijah the future. God had a plan and a purpose. And God's good word would come to pass. You know, for the Israelites, they would get out of Babylon. We know that even from the history record, from the scriptures that are before us. The Lord had promised to get them out. The Lord had promised they would return to their land. And that did come to pass. It came to pass in the days of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Zerubbabel. The three different remnants which returned to Jerusalem, returned to the land that the Lord had given to them. You know, that time of trial and hardship for the Israelites came to an end. And for you, child of God, in your time of trial, your time of hardship, even though you may feel captive to it, greatly restricted by the pressures of life and the stresses that you're under, trust God's good word. He has not left you. He still loves you. He still cares for you. He has promised to visit you. And he has given you his good word. Trust the Lord's good word when he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. The Lord is no man's debtor. The Lord keeps his people. The Lord watches over them. Even as we'll go on to see in the verses next week, the Lord hears their cry. He looks for their prayers. He looks for that sweet communion, that sweet fellowship. Even the seeking, as it go on to say in the verse 13, ye shall seek me and find me. When ye shall search for me with all your heart, I will be found of you. I will turn away your captivity. Oh, what a blessed God. What a friend we have in Jesus. What an encouragement even in our times of trial, and those times when we're downhearted, discouraged. I trust the Lord will bless this word to your heart. Wherever you are, that the Lord will even strengthen you by his word. Whatever the situation that you're going through in your life, that you'll know what it is to lean upon the Lord, to lean in his everlasting arms. Let's have a word of prayer as we close this evening. Father in heaven, we bow before thee. We do thank thee for thy word. We thank thee, O God, for the encouragement in it. We thank thee for the God that's revealed to us even in these pages. We do rejoice that he is a faithful God. He is one who is ever caring and watching over his children, even the times when we feel, the times when we let him down, yet the Lord is ever there for us. The Lord has that good word in season even for our hearts. Bless each one who listens in. God, speak to every heart, we pray thee. Encourage thy people. Encourage the downhearted in these days. And Lord, those that are far from thee, oh, that thou wilt draw them even to thyself. That the lost, the unsaved will see the great love and joy and peace that is found in Christ and in Christ alone. Be with us in these days. Bless, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me thank you once again for joining with us this evening. I do pray that the Lord will bless you wherever you are. Let me encourage you as well, keep tuning in, or even come to our services if you can. Sunday mornings, 11:30 in the church. We'll be delighted to see you. We assure you of a warm welcome as you come into our services. May the Lord bless you indeed.